The Tigers front court is as legit as it gets. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman. And so much has happened over the last week since our last episode where we discussed the returnees that we're going to come back for another season with Stephen Pearl and this Auburn basketball program. One of those has fallen through. And the Tigers have replenished where it needs to in the front court. And now we begin to look ahead to the backcourt and the wing position and where Auburn will direct its attention there. But it's really a good sign to see some height in this Auburn basketball starting lineup that we're going to see and the depth that will be provided with all these signings that Coach Stephen Pearl, General Manager Brian Kloman, and the rest of this coaching staff has really done a good job at getting early in this portal. You're at a point right now, the portal closes tonight, that it, I guess it was last night now, that Auburn's done its job in getting all of this set where it needs to. So let's talk about it. But first, make sure you hit the like button on YouTube and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and here on YouTube as well. However you take in the Barn Podcast Network, we have a ton of content coming out with the Barn Hoops podcast here on the off season as we continue through the transfer portal. And then Auburn football spring practice is wrapped up. So much to come with talking season. And then Auburn baseball continues its trek in the SEC. So let's look at the front court as a whole. It started with the signing of Narcisse Ngoy from the French ranks. And then we thought Sebastian Williams-Adams was making his return. It was announced that way, at least. But obviously, something changed, and he had a change of mind. So he is headed to Vanderbilt. He committed there yesterday and will be with the Commodores next season. And there's a couple guys, him and Elijah Freeman now. Auburn will face next year in the SEC with Freeman heading to the Texas Longhorns. And look, man, that's a frustrating one in the aspect that clearly there was a deal on the table and there was some level of commitment, and for it to fall through, it's not the way you want to. But again, you can't complain too much because Auburn has absolutely replaced that production with ease with the commitments and signings of, like I said, Narcisse Ngoy. Then it was Buki Oboye from Santa Clara, then Owen Freeman from Creighton, and then Thomas Dowd and Adam Olson are now also added to the roster and in the kind of in that tool shed now for the Tigers. And it's not to mention Emeka Oporum. He's kind of starting to come along in his recovery for next season. He's added a bit of weight. So now you have 3 7-footers on the roster. You've got what I think is maybe some of the best offensive ability that you have in the front court in quite some time, at least at the 4 position. The 5 is certainly defensive focused and wanting to protect against some of these dominant front courts in the SEC and even in the non-conference. Like, you go back to last year when Auburn faced Michigan in the Players Era Festival, and the Tigers were outmatched because of the size by the Wolverines. Wolverines obviously ultimately won the national championship and did it with ease. And it's not necessarily going to be the way every team wins the national championship year in and year out, but you're going to have that size to be competitive in the NCAA tournament and especially in the SEC from January through March. So to add all of these pieces and kind of be set before you go and grab the wing position and then the point guard it's an advantage for this coaching staff to have these pieces in place where you go and talk to point guards and wings and say, listen, this is who you're going to have on the inside of the paint that's going to be dominant and play incredible defense for you. And that's what this coaching staff clearly set its goals out for when the transfer portal opened. So let's break down the individual guys. And we've talked about Narcisse Ngoy, so we'll leave him be. But him and Buki Oboye are going to be really going at it for, I think, starting minutes. And again, another seven-footer to go alongside Ngoy and Emeka Oporum. Like I said, I hope Oporum continues to develop. He clearly has a very gifted athletic ability. It's just got to all come together. He's got to put on some weight and then really figure things out. He's younger too, so he has some time. But for next year, it's going to be the Oboye and the Ngoy show. And I think that what Oboye brings to the table is that interior presence. He might not necessarily be the most high-profile offensive threat. He's going to dunk the ball like crazy, but it just might not be the highest scoring output. Last year, averaging 7.9 points per game and 4.1 rebounds, but the key here is a team-high 40 blocks, and he shot 66.7% from the floor. He wasn't shooting a ton, but he shot enough to have one of the most efficient years, specifically in the Big West out west, and that was kind of what I thought was most important for Auburn to get someone that's the West Coast Conference, excuse me, but it was good to get him in, and you feel good about the defense that he's going to provide, and him having the experience against teams like Gonzaga and St. Mary's, who are tournament teams. That Santa Clara took Kentucky to overtime in the round of 64 of the NCAA tournament. That all adds up to, all right, this is a guy that you're going to want to trust inside the paint and specifically at the rim. And his block percentage is in the top 50 of the nation from last year. His rebounding percentages aren't as good, but that's, again, this is much more about the defensive effort. Yes, rebounding needs to come along, but his offense being so efficient and consistent, that's going to be a big deal. He can also shoot the three a little bit. It's not something you want him to be doing consistently, but he can. He's a 25% career free throw shooter, and he's only shot it 40 times in his career, but 33 of those attempts came this past season. He was 8 of 33. That's good for 24%. So, no, you don't want that to be a big part of his game, but he can do that. And the reason it's important is because he led the nation in two-point field goal percentage at 77% clip. So I think a lot of that three-point shooting is to just make teams recognize that as a threat so that he can continue to dominate on the inside as he did this past season. And that'll be so impressive to see. Now, another key, his free throw shooting. He didn't get a ton of minutes as a freshman. His sophomore year last year was where he took the big step. But he went from a 44% free throw shooter in 2025 to a 66% free throw shooter in 2026. Hopefully that can translate again. It'd be great if he took another 20% jump to 88% or something like that. But we would take 70%+ from a backup center, potentially a starting center. And that's what this team and this staff is going to be trying to develop, is his free throw shooting, a little bit of his three-point shooting, but then it's going to be the rebounding that also needs to come along for Buki Oboye, the junior out of Houston, Texas. So excited for this center position to develop, because again, seven-footers is just not something that we're used to. Since Bruce Pearl took over as head coach, and the only two guys until Emeka Oporum were Walker Kessler and Trayvon Reed. So having this height, one through three on the depth chart, is really impressive and something that is going to help develop, I think, this team into an elite defensive team. Ngoy and Oboye, both with 2 years of eligibility. So again, last year and throughout this year, we talk a lot about the multi-year transfers and kind of the product of that for this coaching staff over the last decade and how that's been really the key to Auburn making multiple Final Fours, winning a ton of SEC championships, all of that because guys like Jahni Broome and Chad Baker-Bazzara and Denver Jones stay for multiple years and are able to develop in this system. They understand it, and they become close as teammates and as friends. And that all really translates to the court and how they advance so far into March in the NCAA tournament. So that's the five position. I don't know who's going to really be the guy. I don't know if it's going to be Ngoy. I don't know if it's going to be Oboye. Oboye's got the slight height advantage. He's also played in what is as close to high major basketball without it being high major basketball as it gets in the West Coast Conference. Narcisse Ngoy, of course, in the international ranks. So I think those guys are going to have to battle it out for who plays the most minutes. But I mean, I also don't think it would be necessarily a bad thing if it's split, if there is an even split for both of those guys to play in this upcoming season. But that's not it for the front court. The front court is seriously what I think is going to really help this Auburn basketball team take it to the next level. With Tahai Pettiford and Kevin Overton leading the way in the backcourt, of course, you still got to get a three guard. And a couple of these guys can play that position as well that I'm going to talk about at the four. But their primary positions are the four. And we start with Thomas Dowell, the transfer from Troy. He was first team all Sun Belt last year and just quite frankly dominant in the Sun Belt. And there's so many just raving reviews for him after he averaged 14.4 points per game and 10.1 rebounds per game. That's a double-double. He's a home state kid. Dothan, Alabama is his hometown. 6'8", 225 pounds. So not the tallest power forward in the world, but we've seen that over the past couple of years. And I think that he can really get it done. But that rebounding number was 15th in the nation for him. He also dished out 2.1 assists per game, blocked 1.3 blocks per game, and had 1.2 steals per game. So he was stuffing the stat sheet. And what I like even better is he averaged less than a turnover and a half per game. So his profile is what I'll be really interested to see on KenPom because, again, this is kind of a part of it is, all right, you're getting a guy that last year had what was a career year and just dominated for the Trojans. And they had a great season as well, winning the regular season Sun Belt title, but just weren't able to get into the tournament, falling lost to Nebraska in the NCAA tournament, couldn't advance in the tournament. He had a huge game in the Sun Belt tournament championship with 23 points on 6 of 7 shooting, 2 of 5 from three, and he grabbed 10 rebounds in that game as well. He had 6 turnovers, but that was a season high for him in turnovers by 3. So he had 4 against South Alabama and a loss back in February. So this is a guy that I think brings such a great offensive ability to the table that Tahai Pettiford and Kevin Overton and whoever the other combo guard is going to be that the Tigers bring in, he can really help those guys facilitate. And whether it's going to be a wraparound or whatever it is, those are the kinds of things that the passing is what those two guys need the most help with in the aspect of they can't just be standing there and stagnant. And again, the size is something to monitor, but I don't think will make a huge impact. 32% from 3, 54% from 2. Pretty good overall as far as offensive goes. And I think that he's going to be someone that can really bring an explosive offensive ability to this team that was lacking last year. You look at guys like Sebastian Williams-Adams and Filip Jovic, and they just didn't bring the offensive game to the table that you needed as freshmen. They at times they were complete zeros. There were times where they were good. And sometimes Sebastian Williams Adams, when he got going downhill, it was impossible to stop. He was good at getting to the rim and laying it up. Filip Jovic sometimes just exploited mismatches. You look at the South Alabama game in the NIT. You go back to the South Carolina game in January. But those were those games, those teams were mismatched in overall, because South Carolina was the worst team in the SEC. South Alabama was outside, I think, the top 200 in KenPom when that game happened. So I digress to say Thomas Dowd is going to be the primary offensive threat in the front court for this Auburn basketball team. Yes, Narcisse Ngoy and Buki Oboye are going to have a lot of explosiveness, and they're going to dunk the ball like crazy. But Dowd's going to be the one that really spreads the floor and makes teams are going to game plan for him specifically because of what he brings to the table. Sure, Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton are your primary scorers, but he's going to be the guy that opens it up for them to I think, be all SEC caliber guards next year. And that's the goal for him and those two guys as well. So what has been said about him? And Jeff Goodman of the Field of 68 posted his scouting report from a coach. His strengths are that he was the best player in the Sun Belt by far. He's an elite above the rim athlete. He plays the wing spot, small ball four, defends, can switch, high level in transition, good shooter, three level scorer, finisher, elite rebounder, competitive, plays extremely hard. His weaknesses are his post moves, needs to improve his passing, has trouble guarding on the perimeter, off the bounce, 1-3. So to me, that tells me he'll be able to play the three when needed, but it's going to be more important for him to play down low on the defensive end. And that's what this staff is really going to want, is that consistent defensive ability while also an explosive offensive spark that he'll provide. And, you know, I think that's important to have here. Is these guys that are able to play up and down the lineup. And while it might not be the natural position for him, he'll make it work. 17 double-doubles last year. That's obviously how you average a double-double. But it's not the only guy that was added. And an important one now is a high major addition in Owen Freeman. A 6'10", 240-pound junior from Illinois. He transferred in from Creighton, but he started his career at Iowa, and that's where you see his ceiling. Because you look at his stat line from last year, it wasn't great. 5 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, that's fine. But he also only played 26 games and started 9 and averaged under 12 minutes per game. That's because he suffered a significant injury. And last summer, it was a knee injury. Just he's playing pickup basketball, and his knee gave out. So he was able to get back and play for the Blue Jays, but he was not himself. So that's something else to really think about going into this offseason and into the regular season of, all right, he's going to have to progress to get back to himself, where he won Big Ten Player of the Year his freshman year and Iowa, when he averaged 10.6 points and 6.6 rebounds per game. He also almost averaged 1 or 2 blocks per game. And he only got better his sophomore year when he averaged 16.7 points per game, 6.7 rebounds per game, 1.3 assists per game, same block numbers, and his usage went up quite a bit. His field goal percentage also rose, and that is where I'm going to continue to rely on that, as this team is going to be efficient in its pass, and that's what's going to have to continue as well for Stephen Pearl and his ball club as far as the front court goes. Can't have guys missing bunnies. You cannot be missing shots at the rim. You got to jam it. You got to finish, and that's what these guys do the best. So Owen Freeman last year, again, missed a part of the season because of his knee injury, and was fortunately able to get back in action and get in the groove. He just wasn't himself from what he had been the previous two seasons. But, I mean, you just go back to his freshman year and how great he was. This is a really interesting one because you look at KenPom and his player profile, his 2025 season. Again, he won Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 2024. 2025, I would say he was even better. And sure enough, he was compared to Jahni Broome in 2023. That's Morehead State Jahni Broome, by the way. And that's probably a worthy comparison as far as his game style is concerned. Just back to the basket. And in his sophomore year, he was able to drop out and shoot threes, 5 of 16 from three his sophomore season. Didn't shoot a three last year at Creighton. But again, not a lot of minutes. He had to go out there and play the important minutes. So I do think, and heck, I'm looking at it now, 19 games his sophomore year at Iowa. So he didn't really get to play a full season. He played 10 conference games. So that's a decent enough of a sample size to kind of talk about it. I just think that this is a guy that could surprise some folks as far as his ability goes, because when you look at these box scores and everything that goes into it, it just is, it's not pretty. But clearly, he has a great ability, and I'm excited to see that pan out, and hopefully he gets back to his freshman and sophomore self, where he was one of the better front court players in the Big Ten at Iowa. So it'll be big for him to get in the front court in the SEC and play that way. And then we talk about the most recent addition to Auburn, and it's another in-state guy, not local, but as far as the college goes. You get Thomas Dowd from Troy, and then Adam Olson is going to be joining the Tigers from South Alabama. A junior, 6'8", 225 pounds, averaged 16.7 points per game, 4.1 rebounds per game. And that's really his bread and butter, is he is a shooter. And it was interesting because he played the five for South Alabama this past season. And that was something that obviously wasn't his natural position. He didn't play against Auburn in the NIT championship. And that was a big factor in Auburn dominating that game and playing the way it did in the second half. Obviously, the beginning of that game didn't go the way Auburn wanted it to, but you just look up and down these stat lines. Like, he had 29 points against Louisiana Monroe. He had 22 against Texas State, 27 against Arkansas State, 23 against Buffalo, 26 against James Madison, 26 against Louisiana. And that was a part of a three-game stretch where he scored at least 20 points against La Monroe, Texas State, and then that 26-point performance against Louisiana, 21 against New Mexico State, 20 against Texas San Antonio, and then he started his season with a 23-point performance against Toledo. So he's a dynamic scorer, and he can do it from deep. Like that 29-point performance, he was 8 of 13 from three against Louisiana Monroe. That's 61.5%. So is he going to be a guy that's playing a ton of minutes? I don't think so, but he's certainly capable of doing that and coming in and providing an offensive spark when needed. And Olson, being a young guy, I don't know how much. Yeah, he was listed as a junior, so he's probably going to have 1 year of eligibility. He came over from Canada last year to join South Alabama. But yeah, again, you just kind of look at the numbers, and he looked pretty good. As far as the analytics go, and he didn't turn the ball over a lot. He played a lot of minutes for the Jaguars this past season. In conference games, he had the highest minute percentage as far as players go. And that's why he was able to be so good, was because of his, one, he was effective, but two, because he's kind of a volume guy, it seems like. He's really good at shooting the basketball, and that shows in his three-point shooting performances as he shot really well from three this past season. 40%. Nope, excuse me. Yeah, no, 40% from three. 101 for 252, which is a really good mark. So I overall, this front court is pretty much complete, and I think it looks awesome. You've got the defensive just stalwarts in Ngoy and Oboye. You've got the dynamic offensive players in Thomas Dowd and Adam Olsen. Then you've got the high ceiling of Owen Freeman that if he comes off that injury and is able to regain that strength and be the player that he was at Iowa, the sky is the limit for him. So I'm really encouraged by what has happened so far in the portal for Auburn. It's not ideal to have guys commit back and then leave, but whatever, whenever you sign these guys and you're feeling pretty good about where you're at. So I'm thinking about who's going to contribute the most, because again, I'm not sure quite yet if we're completely done, but it kind of feels like it. When you look at the roster, it seems pretty filled out, but I do think you can get a three that also plays the four, and that's going to be fine because, yeah, you need plenty of threes still. You need at least two of those guys to provide depth there, even though Thomas Dowd can slide up and play the three as well. So I really think that Thomas Dowd is going to be that guy where you don't think about it because Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton are going to be scoring a lot, but teams are going to have to game plan for the way that he plays to prevent Tahad and Kevin Overton from playing really well game in and game out. Because if they focus too much on them, then Dowd's going to go crazy, and that will open things up for the backcourt. So I'm excited to see what Dowd does next year. And on the defensive end, I think clearly Bukie Oboye is coming in to protect the rim and just be dominant inside the paint. I think Ngoy is a guy they hope can develop his offensive game and turn into someone that's dominant there, but we'll see. And then, like I said, Freeman and Olsen, they have high ceilings. Freeman just in general, and then Olsen's offensive game is so elite that you hope that it can provide a spark whenever needed. But yeah, you got the combo guard spot that needs to be filled. Someone to back up to Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton. You need a few guys for the wing. It's as simple as that. And I think I like this where, all right, you've got the front court filled. Now, who can come in and mesh with those guys and gel with them? I think that played a factor last year, early in the season, and why Auburn struggled at that point. And that's not a knock on guys like Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy. I just don't think it worked well with a guard like Tahad Pettiford. It just is what it is. And like I said, it sounds like a knock, but it's not. They're good players. It just didn't work within the system with the other teammates. And Auburn's looking to correct that. And Auburn's looking to look ahead to next year. After winning an NIT championship, you want to get back into contending for an SEC championship. So I over the next week, maybe two, I think this roster fills out. We see a combo guard commit. I haven't seen a ton of names pop up for that one. I've seen some pop up for the three spot, but they're still just, it's just not far enough along to really feel confident in any of those names, like the announcements with Dowd and Freeman and Olsen and Oboye. So looking forward to all of that news breaking, and we'll break it down right here on the Barn Podcast Network and the Barn Hoops Podcast. So make sure, again, you hit that subscribe button, you hit the like button, and it'll all be fed to you on your YouTube and your podcast feed. So thank you again for tuning in, and we'll keep doing this throughout the offseason as we look ahead to 2026 and 2027. But make sure you're subscribed for this content as well as everything coming out with Auburn football and Auburn baseball over the next few months. So with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.